dreams. Nice warm tea, we can feel stress free. Soft voices and a lot of laughs. Sister Mundane Podcast.
Hey friend, how's it going? I hope you're having a really good day. No, you know what? I hope you're having a really good week. My name's Chris, and I'm here today on the Mundane Podcast with my best friend Dave.
Hello.
And we're going to make a podcast for you and talk about some stuff. And today, Dave, we're going to be talking. In fact, let me see if I can get you to guess. I was going to say, maybe I'll get you to guess.
Okay, I love this bit. It's one of my favourite bits. It's like, what are we talking about today? Because for those who don't know, Chris knows what the episode's going to be about. And he does a little bit of background research, but I don't. I don't know until right now. So when you are listening to our podcast, that is when I am finding out for the first time what our episode is on. And I think it works because it's Chris knows a bit and I know nothing except for what I've got in my head from old times or stories or what have you. But yeah, so I just thought I'd inform people of that because it's a good thing.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. So Dave, right, to throw you off, so the first article I'm going to reference on this is from a website called Ground to Ground, serving coffee grounds for gardens since 2010.
Right, okay. So it's coffee related.
No, it is not at all.
No, it's not.
It's got
okay.
Absolutely nothing to do with coffee. The website, so I was just checking, I was like, why does it have an article on this? It goes, welcome to Ground website, delivering expert news, views, research, and general information on the reuse of coffee grounds for compost and gardening. And I'm like, okay. But the actual thing that we're going to talk about has absolutely nothing to do with coffee. Nothing to do with gardens.
Right, okay, because I was starting to think compost.
No, nothing to do with compost. It's got an animal. It's got an animal in its name. It's got something to do with an animal. And it was referenced by the Beatles. They walked on it.
Pedestrian crossing.
A pedestrian crossing, yeah. Also known as
zebra crossing. Of course.
Today we're doing zebra crossings.
Nice.
You know, I realize the audience is never going to have to guess because of the episode title is always going to say what this
they
is.
They will know. Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're all just watching you trying to work it out. So this is from, Ground to Ground, serving coffee grounds. And it's got an article called A Striped History, The Story of the Zebra Crossing by, I think his name is either Shane Genzi UK or Shane Genziuk. Or it's like Shenanigans UK. Shenanigans would be my favorite kind of like Japanese robot TV show. Shenanigans. It's just about giant robots that pull pranks on each other.
They should make that show.
Yeah, they should. Let's make that show. That'll be our next production.
Yeah, we'll do that. Copyright that now.
Copyright that
it's
now.
It's copyrighted now. Yeah. In case anyone's thinking of stealing it.
Exactly. Shenanigans. Let me go through this article then. There are many things we use every day and don't really think about where they came from and why they are the way they are. Is there many things? What? I suppose that's the whole point of this podcast, isn't it, really?
Yeah, they have just kind of summarized what we're doing, what we're here for.
Yeah, there are many things we use every day. What do you think about where they come from and why they are the way they are? Why are they mundane? What makes them mundane? That's what makes them special.
Yeah.
Zebra crossings are one of them. These special types of crossings typically give pedestrians permanent right of way when crossing the street. Chances are that you use a zebra crossing on your way to work every day. But have you ever wondered why they look the way they do? Why do they have stripes and why are they black and white as opposed to any other colour or pattern? This is like writing the podcast for us, isn't it, really?
It is.
This is.
It's already prompting us with questions. I've already got answers in my head.
You've already got answers in your head. Okay, yeah. So let's answer some questions then, Dave. Have you ever wondered why zebra crossings look the way they do? I suppose that's just a yes or no answer.
I may have been told it once when I was learning to drive, but I've forgotten. But I suspect that they are white and stripy because it's a bold colour, because the road is black. So I think the boldest colour, most visible colour, really, is white. To go on the road, obviously, you know, a lot of things that mark hazards and things, they use yellow, but I still think white is the most visible, especially when it's been driven on and faded a bit more. So I think visibility is a big part of it.
Is there anything else that could be black and white to make them more, that would help stand out? That would be like, is there anything that is currently not painted black and white that would actually be better? There's not many zebra cars, are there? I don't think I've ever seen a zebra car.
I have, but only where they've painted it deliberately with zebra print or something similar to zebra print so that you can't tell what the shape of the bodywork is. Because when they make brand new cars, they test drive them out on the roads. And you see it sometimes, it will have a really funny paint job on it. And the idea is it sort of breaks up the shape of the bodywork so that, I guess, rival manufacturers in particular can't work out the shape of the car that they're testing out. Yeah.
I wish there were more clothes like that, because then I could always look kind of like an interesting shape as opposed to the shape I am.
I suppose, yeah. If we all wear zebra, people might not be able to tell what shape we are anymore. Maybe that's what Ed Sheeran wrote Shape of You about.
About what? Zebra print?
Yeah, he's actually in love with how he can't work out the shape of you.
Yeah. He's like, man, those stripes.
Yeah.
So one of my favourite things about this article is the first line of this is the zebra crossing was born.
It was born.
There was a mummy. So what I'm guessing they got a zebra and a road to conceive in the street, just across. Luckily, in front of everyone.
In the middle of the road, blocking the traffic.
Exactly right. Imagine you go and there's all the cones out. It's like roadworks ahead and there's just this zebra going, giving birth to
a bunch of like blokes with hard hats and high vis on like, holding ropes around the zebra, like, come on, do it.
Yeah, it's giving birth. It's just,
it's looking around. It can see all the people watching. And
Put a curtain up. Give it some privacy.
And people are beeping their horns, getting impatient. And the workmen are like, look, guys, like, this is important. This is so pedestrians can cross the road.
Yeah.
Safely.
You know, why did you're going to answer the question, why did the chicken cross the road? Because it was a zebra crossing. You are going to be the answer to that. So I need you to make a crossing, okay?
Have you ever seen a chicken cross a road before?
I have.
Same. It's like you're seeing, I don't know.
Meeting a celebrity. It's like you're meeting a celebrity.
It is like that, isn't it? It's a significant event.
You get a bit starstruck. You're like, a chicken crossing the road. Yeah. Should I ask him?
I had to pull over and text people like, you never guess what I've just seen. No joke. Like literally not a joke this time. A real life chicken did cross the road.
Yeah, and then, you know, sometimes like maybe I should follow the chicken and find out really why did they cross the road.
I should have done that, actually, yeah. It probably crossed the road because it escaped, I would suspect. But...
and you have to cross many roads to escape when you think about it. Mm. So, and then the zebra gives birth in the middle. You know, so I imagine from, conception to birth, probably not long to give birth to a crossing.
Yeah, and does it just conceive the stripes out? So it has several white rectangular flat children and it lays them out onto the road and they just pull it along for it to lay the next
one. And then they're like okay, and now it's born, and then they just run them over with cars non-stop and people walking over them like
poor zebra road babies.
So that's happened. So when do you think the first zebra and road looked at each other in the eyes and decided to have a baby together?
1958.
Oh, very close. They were bought first in 1951.
Okay. Yeah.
Six years after the war, love was blossoming everywhere. Roads and zebras.
Road and zebra love.
Road and zebras. I suppose if the zebra... Is it a male zebra and a female road? Or is it a female road and a male zebra? No, wait. Or is it a female zebra?
Yeah. Wait, does the road give birth?
Does
the
road
lines?
Give birth, or does the zebra give birth? Yeah, I'm just thinking it might make more sense for the road to give birth, because it's like, and it just rises up.
Road.
Yeah, just.
Yeah, it'll make that noise.
Yeah. And then a zebra crossing is born. And then the zebra's like, you have done my job. High fives the road, walks off.
Well, maybe that's something for our listeners to answer.
Does the road give birth
or does the zebra give birth?
Yeah, that we're asking the real questions.
Or is
now.
It a completely ridiculous question that makes no sense at all? And no, you can't say that. It's option one or two.
It's option
that
one or
was,
two.
There was no option three. There wasn't an option three.
Yeah. So it was born actually as well on Halloween, October 31st, 1951, as a solution to make crossing the road safer for everyone. Following the war, the amount of traffic on UK roads was increasing year on year, although it was nothing like the amount of cars that we have today. The increase in traffic combined with pedestrians who were not used to cars meant that fatalities from accidents were particularly high. I always think that's a fascinating time, is just imagining, because now, you know, we walk down the street and you're hyper aware of cars all the time.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, is this car going to accidentally swerve and hit me on the path? Like, at least that's what I'm always worried about. And it's always like that. But you imagine just people walking on roads, just like thinking, yeah, it's fine.
And then next thing you know, bang.
Bang.
They've been hit by an old car at the time was new. It's a bit like, in a way, those electric scooters these days, because they just pop out of nowhere.
They do.
Never ready for them.
No.
I'm not sure I'll ever get used to those, actually, because they're silent. They don't they have lights and they're not road legal.
No.
So there you go.
Yeah, they are weird kind of in-betweeny things, aren't they? Have you ever used those scooters? Have you ever had a ride on one?
No, I'd like to, but I'd also like to not be one of those people at the same time, because I find them so annoying when I'm driving, because they're hazardous at the end of the day. I don't want to hit someone, whether it's their fault or my fault. I don't want to hit them. And that's why I guess zebra crossings are a good thing too, because I don't want to run over pedestrians when they're crossing the road. I want them to have safe passage. And if I need to be alerted that there are pedestrians making safe passage across the road, then good. I'm all for that. And vice versa. If I want to cross the road, it's nice to know that I can just jump on walk on a zebra crossing. Could jump on it, though. There's no reason why not.
No. You ever played hopscotch on a zebra crossing? I've done that.
I haven't, actually. No.
You know, trying to just stay on the white ones or on the black ones. Just hop, hop,
Maybe I would have done that when I was younger. They have a zebra crossing in McDonald's car park where I used to work to get across the drive-through lanes. Nobody pays any attention to them. It's amazing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I suppose because they don't have the flashing lights, maybe.
One of the things that always drives me mad when it comes to zebra crossings is thank you waves. That's like an important thing for me. You go up to the zebra crossing, you look, you don't just cross. I know there's psychos out there that just walk and they go, it's my right of way. And I'm like, okay, then you say that from your hospital bed. But I'm like, all right, look both ways and I wait. And I'm like, wow, thanks for slowing down. And then sometimes I just look and I'm like, okay. And I walk across and make eye contact with the driver and I lift my hand up, give the thank you wave. Like, thanks, mate.
I like to say thank you.
Yeah, sometimes I give a thumbs up. Sometimes there are those drivers that will like, and then they'll see me at the zebra cross, like, ew. And it's like, wow, you're breaking the speed limit, but you don't breach the zebra crossing. Good for you. Thumbs up for you. Probably slow down a bit because this is a built up area with lots of people. But you know what? You stopped on the zebra crossing. Thumbs up for you. And then I find the opposite. If I'm driving, and then I, you know, always slow down at the zebra crossing. The amount of people, sometimes when they don't give me a thank you wave, I'm always a bit like, I'll remember that. I won't remember them, but I'm always like, I'll remember that.
I think it's polite to thank. I don't get too offended if they don't. I get more offended if I give way to someone in my car and another car doesn't say thank you.
Oh yeah, that's the worst.
Because you're literally taught to do that in your driving lessons. Or at least I was. I was taught to say thank you in those situations. Maybe it's not written in a highway code, but it's an unspoken highway code rule in a way. And I don't know if that's really the case for zebra crossings, because I think it's a little bit more, you have to stop at a zebra crossing. That is the law. You don't have to let those cars through, technically. The highway code says if it's there right of way, then you should let them through. But sometimes, you know, there's no one there and you go through anyway. And then you thank them because they've waited for you when it was their right of way. And I don't know, the situations are slightly different. I'm not too bothered if someone doesn't thank me for waiting at the crossing. But people do, and I like that.
I think maybe it's because I get, it does make me really happy when someone says thank you. It's not like it's expected. It's like, why aren't you doing the default? Yeah. But I do sometimes find like, I'm just like, it's not hard. It's not hard to say thank you. Some people don't say thank you to the bus drivers when they walk off buses. It's like, it's not hard. I was in London once and someone told me off for doing it. And they were like, oh, you're too polite. And I was like, no, he's driving me everywhere. Good for him.
I thank the bus driver on the way. I've not been on a bus in years, but I used to thank the bus driver
I love thanking the bus driver. It's like, I'm like chuffed that he even was there to help me.
On the train, I'd get off the train. I'd walk to the front of the train, knock on his window, like, thank you. I didn't really, but that would be quite
you.
Cool.
You! Thanks!
Oi! Look, I know you're trying to drive your train right now, but thank you! I must admit, I have been that psycho. I have crossed zebra crossings before without, you know, really seeing a car is coming and I've just gone, well, they have to stop. I don't know why, because I consciously do it. So most of the time I look and I make sure they stop before I cross. Or make sure they're slowing down. It's like, yeah, they're definitely going to stop. They've seen me. But sometimes, I don't know, I just get this little bit of a buzz in a way, being like, I'm just going to stride straight across this crossing and they have to stop for me, whether they like it or not. And if they don't, well, they've done wrong. And I don't know, I just enjoy that slight danger. Maybe it's the danger. Maybe it's the I've got right away and I'm taking it kind of feeling. But I have done that from time to time. I guess I like to live my life on the edge sometimes, maybe.
You're a madman.
Mad. Absolutely bonkers.
Absolutely bonkers. So interesting, actually, when you were talking about your driving test on your driving lessons.
Yeah.
Do you put your handbrake on at zebra crossings?
No.
Were you told to put your handbrake on at zebra crossings?
I suspect I probably was. I think I was pretty much taught any time you stopped the car, put your handbrake on.
I was always told that you have to. I don't know whether it is legal. So if the police are listening, we definitely both always put on
handbrake. At every appropriate situation.
Every appropriate situation.
And we always drive absolutely perfectly.
Always.
We never break the law.
10 to 2 on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
I do actually do that because I do. I do. It's actually like you have the most control over the car.
Yeah. Sometimes I switch to one arm if it's like a long stretch and I know that there's not too many hazards. But as soon as there's like, right, there's some hazards coming up or some tight bends, right, two hands on the wheel now. I have quite a, I guess you could call it an involved driving style. I'm always thinking about stuff to do with the driving I'm doing when I'm driving. And if I'm not, then chances are I'm probably not driving very well. Yeah. Because it's good. It keeps me awake. It's like when I'm on the motorway, I like to change lane quite a lot because it just, it keeps me involved in what I'm doing. I don't get suckered into a sense, of, you know, lulled into a doziness, a
when
dozy
you,
state.
When you say changing lane, do you change lane even if there's no cars there?
No, not really. Some people, I drive correctly. I don't hog the middle lane like a lot of people do for two reasons. Because one, it's the law and it doesn't seem to get enforced, but it is the law. You don't hog the middle lane and it's dangerous to do that if you do. And two, because it just keeps me interested.
Do you have cruise control in your car? Because I always do. I use cruise control on motorways.
Yeah, and that, the bane of cruise control is middle lane hoggers.
Yes. Anyway, the origin of the zebra name is obvious, but who was the first person to make the comparison between the striped crossing and the exotic stripes of the African savannah inhabitant? The story goes that Jim Callaghan, who was a member of parliament in the late 1940s and would later become prime minister, was the one to coin the moniker. He apparently visited the road crossing experiments and observed that they looked like the striped creature, and the name stuck. So that's it. Just a guy called Jim was just like, hey, looks like a zebra. And they were like, zebra crossing. Because when you think about it, like the stripes on a zebra, they don't resemble a zebra crossing.
No,
they're not
at
like
all.
Flat blocks. They're quite thin. They can be in different things.
They're all completely unique as well. No zebra looks the same.
No zebra looks the same.
I found that out the other day. I was watching a documentary.
About just zebras.
It was actually a survival thing, but there was some zebras at one point and he's talking about none of them look the same, even though they kind of do look the same.
The way you were talking about that, I thought you were going to go, and there was a bit where he was interviewing a load of zebras and they were talking about how they all don't look the same.
He's like, yeah, and the zebra was like, oh, people always think we look the same, and that's zebraism.
Zebraism.
And, you know, we're actually completely different, but at the same time, just like you.
Just like you. It doesn't matter whether you're black and white, because we're both.
Yeah. Actually, zebras are a nice metaphor in a way.
Yeah. We're all the same but different. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white or both. Or any other colour. Like, you know, zebras can be other colours.
You can be any colour. You can be no colour at all.
You can be no colour at all. We don't see colours, really. Dave, you're colourblind. If you look at a zebra, you know what colour it is.
Yeah.
Why can't it
be black and white?
Black and white.
There's no red-green confusion on there. Is there anything that zebra crossings look more like than zebras? Did they miss a trick?
Is there anything black and white stripes? The white stripes. The band The White Stripes.
The band The White Stripes.
They look more like the band The White Stripes. No.
I mean,
they wear a lot of red, The White Stripes. That's their
colour.
Yes,
they do. It is their colour.
They're red, black and white, aren't they?
I mean, in a way, it looks more like a chessboard than a zebra. Even though the chessboard things are square and it's a checkered pattern, you could argue, or how about, because it's staring me right in the face right now, there's one on the desk right in front of me, the keys of a piano.
Piano crossing. Whatever his name was, he used to be Prime Minister. If I knew my history, I should probably... Jim Callaghan, if he was a musician... Would have been a whole
he's
different
more
thing.
Familiar with pianos than he was with zebras. We might be walking across piano crossings.
Exactly.
Would the Beatles still have done the Abbey Road cover if it was a piano crossing?
If it was a piano crossing, yeah, because it's probably too on the nose then.
Yeah. We can't do that. It's because we're already music. We can't make it more music.
Yeah. So on the subject of animal-based crossings, do you know what the other ones are? There's one, two, three, four other UK names for animal-based crossings?
Well, obviously, I know everyone because it's the highway code and the law. So I know every single one.
Of course.
I don't need to say them all, but obviously there's the pelican crossing.
Pelican crossing. So how would you describe a pelican crossing? Do you know why it's called a pelican crossing? Oh my goodness, why it's called a pelican crossing?
Is it to do with...
So let's go back. So a zebra crossing...
I also don't know the other animal crossings either. We can edit it so it sounds like I'm a good driver.
A pelican crossing... Do you know what a pelican crossing is? Can you describe what a pelican crossing looks like?
Is a pelican crossing one that's got the buttons that you push?
It's got traffic lights, yeah.
Traffic lights. Whereas a zebra crossing is just the balls just on
the
stick.
Can have the balls on the stick or no balls on the stick.
Okay, yeah. So it's just the key is the zebra lines.
Yeah, and it's got the green man. It's got the green man, the piano lines. It's got the green man. And like, there's no zebra pattern, is there? It's normally just those dots in the road. But obviously the traffic lights are there. There's those like little nubbins to kind of show.
Yeah, so that's a pelican crossing.
That's a pelican crossing. Jim Callahan walked up and was like, it looks like Jim a pelican.
Again.
No, not really.
you got me.
No, it wasn't Jim. It wasn't our good friend.
That would be
Jim.
Brilliant.
It's actually really clever. It is a portmanteau, as in it's a combination of different words which stand pedestrian light controlled crossing.
Pelican is definitely more catchy.
Pedestrian pair. Light, pedestrian light, controlled, con, crossing. So pelican.
It's pelican.
So it's pelican crossing is actually how it's properly pronounced, but it's built from that portmanteau and it sounds like another animal, therefore pelican.
Yeah.
So the next one is puffin crossing.
Oh, puffin. Yeah, yeah.
So do you know what the puffin crossing is?
No.
It's basically the same as a pelican crossing, but you know, normally like, the lights to cross the road are on the opposite side of the road. So it's almost like traffic lights where you're looking all the way across. A puffin crossing is when the lights are on the side of the road that you're on. So when you press the button, it's also got the walk and don't walk lights.
Right, okay.
So that is a puffin crossing and it has sensors and it will detect whether people are there or not. So sometimes it actually is designed so people can... Like it's not... I think some of them have like phantom buttons. So you press them and it doesn't actually do anything.
Yeah.
And then some of them are just like on a cycle, while some of them will literally never change unless someone goes up to the button and press it and it detects
nice.
It. And my favorite things about those ones, obviously on the buttons, do you remember the blind little knobbly bit?
Underneath
that little blind knobbly bit.
That turns around, doesn't it?
That turns around, yeah. In that modern world of COVID, do we all want to be like feeling that same knobbling bit? So, okay. So there was puffin.
Yeah.
Pelican. Pelican, once again, portmanteau. Zebra, guy was like, looks like a zebra. Puffin is just, I don't know why it's called a puffin. I didn't really establish why it was called a puffin. It's called a puffin. Its name derived from the, God, they're all different. This is amazing. So let's break this down.
Yeah.
Zebra looks like a zebra. Pelican is a portmanteau, pedestrian, blah, 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 blah. Puffin is a, what's the word? Where it's like breaks, it's the first letter of each word. Turns it into something else.
Oh, learned that at primary school, forgotten it. MOT is the same type of thing.
Yeah, but there's two different kind acronym.
Oh, acronym.
So there's an acronym which makes a word that you can say, and then there's an initialism where you don't say the word that it makes. So for example, FBI is an initialism, not an acronym.
So MOT is an initialism.
MOT is an initialism, unless you called it a MOT. I went and
but
got a MOT.
AFCON is an acronym. Do you know what AFCON is?
No.
It slightly breaks the rules, actually, because AF are from the word Africa, so the first two letters are from one word, but it's Africa Cup of Nations.
Oh, okay.
It's the equivalent of the Euros for Europe. It's Africa's Euros.
Oh, okay.
Football.
That's interesting. Yeah, so this is an acronym. Puffin crossing is an acronym. It derives its name from pedestrian user-friendly intelligent. So that kind of cheats as well. The IN is from intelligence.
Oh, yeah, okay, yes. So you're allowed to do that. That's legit.
Pedestrian user-friendly. P, user-friendly, UFIN. Pedestrian user-friendly.
That's a poofin.
That's a poofin, yeah. A poofin. Yeah, yeah, there's only one F, a poofin. I don't know why that's so funny. A poofin. we have a pelican, poofin, toucan.
Toucan crossing.
Toucan crossing.
Is that, let me guess why that one's called...
It is probably,
not
you're probably going to guess it right.
Am I really?
Come on.
Is it right? Here we go.
So describe what it is. Describe what it is first. Do you want a toucan crossing is? It's two different kinds of users can cross it.
Right, yeah. So it's one of those crossings that has a cycle bit as well as the pedestrian
bit. That's it, yeah.
And it is called that because two can cross it.
That's
two
exactly
types
why it's called
transport
that.
Transport can it's, cross it.
That's exactly oh, yeah. why it's called that.
I remember the thing or figured out a thing.
Did you
both.
Did you remember it or did you figure it out?
I think a little bit of both. I think I've been told that before. I had to figure it out from the patches of memory I had.
There you go. So it's a toucan crossing because two can cross. Both pedestrians and cyclists can cross together.
And what type of, what would you call that? It's not an acronym. It's not a...
it's like a pun, isn't it, really?
Yeah,
it's
I
just
suppose
a pun.
It is, isn't it?
Two can cross. Two can
What happens
cross.
When they run out of all of these... animal puns.
Well, you say that.
I suppose they'll stop building crossings. But, that's it. Can't. No more new crossings.
That's it. Crossings are perfect now. So yeah, because obviously you can cross on a bike on a pelican crossing, but obviously it's a bit squished and you have to cross with the pedestrians because there's cycle paths in Leicester and other places where it is literally just a normal pedestrian crossing, a normal pelican crossing, but actually it's...
So the highway code probably says on your bike you should dismount for that type of crossing.
Yes.
But for a toucan, you can probably remain mounted on your bicycle.
Okay, so there is one more that's still in use. And once again, I want you to try and guess what it's for, okay?
Okay.
A,
is it a penguin?
No. First letter's correct, though. A Pegasus crossing.
Pegasus?
Yep.
Is that like a horse?
That's it. That's literally what it is. It is literally a crossing...
For horses.
For horses. For horse riders. Not just for horses. Like horses aren't going up and pressing the button and then wanting to cross the road.
Yeah, it is basic, that would be cool. But
it is a pelican
happening.
Crossing for horses. Or zebras. I suppose if zebras could kind of sneak in there with their stripes and be like, oh yes, I'm definitely a horse.
Well, yeah. What even are they? What shape are they?
Maybe a zebra could just get its stripes and done such a way that it resembles a human. Maybe there are walking zebras walking around right now with really good stripe breakdowns to cover up the fact that they're really zebras.
They're actually humans.
They're really zebras.
Oh, they're really zebras.
They're zebras.
I see. Sorry,
humans.
They're humans walking. Yeah, maybe.
Think about it. Are you out there? Are you a zebra? Are you a zebra listening right now? Write in, please, zebra. Tell us, what kind of stripes do you have that makes you resemble a person? Please tell us. We want to know. We want to interview. We'll have you on the podcast. We'll interview a real life zebra person, and we'll ask you, what sound do you make?
So zebra people write in.
Yeah, so I just actually thought about it, because if it's a zebra trying to blend in as a human, they're probably just going to sound like a human now. Maybe they've forgotten what sound they make. Like the same way that we can make an impersonation of the sounds we make as a baby, but we can't make the exact same sounds. So maybe the zebra has lost the zebra language.
Maybe it has.
Yeah. We need to think about this. We need to find a way to bring the zebras on. And maybe we can find some kind of zebra expert. We'll get a person that's got stripes that is actually a zebra to meet another real zebra. Or we'll show them that documentary you had on.
Yeah.
And they can go back and remember their roots, remember their heritage in the same way that people are still learning Cornish as a language to kind of claim back their heritage. The other thing I wanted to quickly say, though, on zebra crossings, Dave, did you know there was a failed... crossing. There was another kind of crossing
that they rolled out and it didn't work out.
That they rolled out.
This wasn't a test. They actually brought it into service.
Yeah, and it did not work. And this is a crossing called the Panda Crossing.
I was actually earlier on going to say, is there a panda crossing? Just because there seems to be a few black and white animals.
So the Panda Crossing, this is from an article from The Telegraph. In June 1961, so that is 10... Hold on. I've lost the article. When was the original zebra crossing again?
June 1961.
51. So 10 years after the zebra crossing came out, almost. You've heard of the zebra crossing and the pelican crossing. But the panda crossing? It was real, but short-lived. In 1961, the government announced the arrival of a new type of crossing, operated by a push button. It didn't last long because it was too complicated for anybody but a Ministry of Transport civil servant to understand. I'm intrigued. Why? Because a pulsating amber light was a warning to stop, whereas a flashing amber light meant move only if crossing is clear. So there was a light moving in different ways. So there's flashing to pulsating lights.
Oh, that sounds a bit too complicated.
Yeah. And then in 1969, the Pelican Crossing was brought in as a replacement. That is the shortest article in the world. That's literally the entire article.
It's almost like it's a mundane thing that they didn't have much to say about. Good job we're here to say things
exactly.
about it.
Exactly. And I found, weirdly, it's from a stock photo, just to make things even more confusing. I actually found the original instructions for a panda crossing. So a panda crossing, it's like a zebra. You know, like we're talking about a zebra crossing with the stripes.
Yeah.
A panda crossing is made out of triangles. So it's right. got like isosceles triangles, white isosceles triangles and white isosceles black
painted
triangles.
Painted on the road, yeah.
Painted on the road. So I don't know what kind... So
I bet that's quite bold. I bet that, in terms of being visible, I bet that worked.
Yeah, and they switch. So it's like tessellating black and white.
Yeah, I can imagine the kind of thing. Very of the time in terms of style.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, there's a lot of
61.
Clothes and fashion, like the sawtooth kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And it really, once again, changes the shape of the road. Maybe the road... was had enough of being with zebras, making them feel bad, going, these stripes don't look good on me. I need something more jaggedy. You
and
know?
That's when they brought in the panda crossing.
They bring in the
panda
crossing.
Because people needed something that was better for their self-esteem. You know, they were worried about how they looked with the zebra crossing. Yeah. So they brought in the panda crossing and it literally, someone's over the other side and they're like, you look great. You look really, really good. Come over, come on, come over here and let me tell you more. Let me pander to you more about how great you look.
Exactly.
That's what I did there.
I did. I like that. I like that. So, so it had a normal stop and start, a normal stop and wait button that you press, you know, it's like on a Pelican crossing. And then above them, they had those little gumball light things like you do on yeah. some zebra crossings, except they have stripes on them like a zebra to make things even more confusing. So they've got stripes wow. on the pedestrian thing. Right. And there are signals. So the signals to the pedestrians, if there are no signal, don't cross. And then if there is a white cross, they should cross. This is for pedestrians. If there is a flashing white cross, you may still cross, but allow approaching vehicles ample time to give way. So it's basically like a zebra crossing where you only sometimes have right of way. And then instead of a traffic light on the other side, there's just two lights. One is amber and one is red. So that comes back to the pulsating amber tells the drivers they must stop.
Yeah.
Unless they are really close and then they can cross over. Pulsating red means they must stop. And then flashing amber means they must give way to pedestrians who are on the side of the road. So imagine driving up and instead of seeing red, yellow, green, it's just yellow and red. And if it's pulsing yellow, that means you can go. If it you should stop or you can go. Pulsating red means you have to stop no matter what. And flashing amber means you have to also stop and give way. So I'm already
too many
confused.
Options.
There is too many options
too many
there.
Options.
We're a dumb, dumb species. We just need red, yellow, green. Stop, start. You know, because even flashing, I find sometimes people don't know what to do when there's flashing.
Some people don't. I mean, flashing amber, correct me if I'm wrong, but if it's safe to do so and there's nobody approaching or on the crossing, then you may go if it's flashing amber.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and I've just seen another photo of it. So remember I said on the pedestrian side, there's literally just one light. And I said cross. What I didn't realise, I thought it was an actual cross symbol, but no, it's the word cross.
Oh, right.
So
okay.
it's just
yeah,
going
that
cross and then off. Although I like the word cross because that's also, you know, in British parlance, being angry.
Yeah.
So it's like, how's the light feeling today? Cross. Oh, no, light. I'm so sorry. I suppose it is because it's missing the zebra. Maybe that's the way this child is going, where's my dad or mum, dependent on which was the parent that conceived me.
And why am I being run over all the time?
And why am I being run over all the time? If only I could give... Maybe that's why. Maybe to stop their complaints and their grumpiness, they did that. So, yeah, that is literally the zebra crossing. There's not really a lot more on the history of it because it was basically unveiled and then that's it. They were there. And then the Beatles did a walk on it.
Popularized it. And nobody ever really wanted to cross them before then. And then as soon as the Beatles did it, they were like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely getting on that. And then people started taking photos of it and got run over because they weren't on the crossing.
Yeah. And now like people are like, right, if only there was more. And then that's what happened with the horses and then the Pegasus crossings and... So there you go. So that is zebra crossings, ladies and gentlemen, and those that life betwixt. I hope you enjoyed that breakdown history. It's not a very long history, but I still think it's a very interesting experience and time.
I think before we wrap it up,
yeah,
we should just give a shout out to all the lollipop ladies or lollipop gentlemen.
Lollipop ladies and gentlemen and those that life betwixt. Exactly. They
an actual living crossing that you can speak to and ask, can I cross the road, please?
Yeah, that's nice, isn't it? Compared to, you know, in America, all I know is crosswalk, which to me, I think is just the same kind of thing. That's just a crosswalk. But, you know, how amazing it is. We have zebras, pelicans, pandas that didn't work out. Zebras, pelicans, pegasi, puffins, toucans. And then also, let's get a person involved. What have they got? Not an animal, but a sweet, a lollipop. Hey, guys. You can cross if you want to. And it works. And I love lollipop ladies. They're amazing. Always say thank you to your lollipop ladies.
Yeah.
If anything, if you're not going to say thank you, you're not going to give a thank you wave on a zebra crossing, make sure you say thank you to those lollipop people.
I've got fond memories of the lollipop lady who I used to cross the road with their assistants walking back from primary school with my mum.
Exactly.
In the day.
Thus answering the joke, why did Dave cross the road? Because the lollipop lady said so.
Yeah.
Or, well, was it a lollipop lady?
They were a lady. And the problem now is, of course, that I go to cross the road and I'm waiting for the lady to tell me I can, and she's not there. So I just wait perpetually. If you ever see me waiting at a crossing, guys, just wind your window down. Just be like, you can cross, Dave.
Not to add a sudden last minute twist.
Give me a lollipop as well. Yeah.
Not to add a sudden last minute twist. Think about it.
Yeah.
What if zebras dressing up as people are the lollipop people? It's how they meet the roads.
That makes so much sense.
That's how they meet the roads. That's how they then fall in love with the roads, because they're helping people cross and they're talking to the road. They're getting to know each other. They're having a couple of drinks and they're like, oh, we should make this permanent. And then they conceive a crossing.
A crossing.
For everyone.
Wow. I mean, that makes complete sense to me. If anyone's got a better idea as to how zebra crossings are conceived, then do get in touch. But I don't think we're going to hear anything from you guys on that one. So don't write in, to be honest, because you're not going to have a better idea. That is the most likely reason.
Yeah, if you're thanking a lollipop person, make sure you also say to them, what sounds do zebras make?
Yeah, and let us know.
And let us know, because I reckon they're going to probably know a bit more than we think. Because they're wearing the high vis, that's covering up, that's different shapes. That could be the shape we're thinking of. If you put a high vis on a zebra, does it look like a lollipop person?
Yeah, I think it probably does, actually.
Exactly. Exactly, world. Think about it. Maybe all construction work, people that are constructing on the road, you know, when there's roadworks ahead, I sure hope they do. Maybe if there's roadworks ahead and people are working on it, the reason they work so slow sometimes is because they're zebras trying to be people.
Yeah, it must be difficult, you know. We've got opposable thumbs.
Exactly.
They've got hooves.
Exactly.
Imagine trying to build a crossing with hooves.
Exactly. Wake up, sheeple. This is now a conspiracy podcast. We've shifted.
We're branching out, because it's conspiracies that are in right now. We're probably going to get 500 times more views on this episode just because we've got conspiracies in.
Exactly.
It.
Think about it, world. Zebras are people that work on the roads. How do we know? That Prime Minister person that I've just forgot the name of again, Jim Callaghan. How do we know he wasn't a zebra? Maybe he was and he just wanted to be like, what do you want to name your child? He had this child. And they're like, what do you want to name it? And he's like, I want to combine my two favourite things, my love for the road to cross the road, and then my people, zebras.
My kind.
My kind, zebra crossing.
And so maybe actually that's why he knew to call it a zebra crossing.
Because
he knows what they look like, because he is one. He's one of the few people, or zebra people, well, I guess only zebra people truly know what zebras look like.
Exactly.
Because they can see through the stripes. And that's what we're all about. We're all about just lifting up the stripes and revealing the excitement and intrigue underneath.
The person underneath those stripes. Who are you underneath your stripes? And with that...
Just kicked my mic.
In excitement of these conspiracies that we've unlocked today.
Absolutely.
Zebra crossings. Think about it. This was far from mundane. This is shifted completely.
This is massive.
This was, you know,
forget QAnon. We're talking about zebra people.
Zebra people. Think about it. But I do hope that you've had a very good day, everybody. And I also hope that I want to say, because I believe everyone should, thank you very much for listening.
Yeah, thank you for listening, guys. Really do appreciate it.
And let's hear your zebra people conspiracies. Who else is out there making more crossings out in the world? And I just want you all to know back at home that I love you.
And I love you all too.
And
I love Chris.
And I love you, Dave. And with that, we will see you next week. Take care, everybody.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye,
thank
everyone.
You.
Thank you.
Take care.
Love you. Bye.
Sister Mundane Podcast.